Is a universal basic income still in the cards for Canada? I'm Marco Perry. Welcome to the Perry Platform. The National Post reports that the controversial idea of a guaranteed basic income, which could cost tens of billions of dollars each year, might be making its way to the House of Commons this spring in Canada. So, the chances of a guaranteed income, a universal basic income, becoming actual policy are very close to zero, said Kevin Milligan. He is an economics professor at the University of British Columbia who specializes in government social spending. So, for context, the Senate in Canada has been studying the Ontario Senator Kim Pate's Bill S-233, which strives to develop a national framework to provide people over the age of 17 in Canada with access to a guaranteed, livable, basic income. And that's going to include temporary workers, permanent residents, and refugee claimants. Now, ask yourself, why would we want such a thing? I think there are two paths you can go down to create a solid case for a UBI implementation framework. The first is the rise of AI. Artificial intelligence really is in its infancy, yet it's disrupted so many sectors and many people are fearful about the future. AI in its current state can already replace many entry-level office jobs. Now, people did predict that AI would disrupt maybe manual labor first, but the order of operations has been inversed. Eventually, though, everything is going to be impacted by AI. These machines are just simply more efficient, they can work 24/7, and they don't require wages or healthcare. It's only a matter of time until companies realize that shifting their business model to be machine-centric internally versus hiring people is going to be the way to go. They're going to achieve new levels of output, new levels of insight that they wouldn't have had prior. And they're going to do that while having a cost saving, most likely. This will likely be a slow roll, but eventually, there's going to be a lot of people who are simply not employable due to the competition. What do you do in a case like that? Many people float the idea of an efficiency tax that you levy against companies who are using AI to enhance their work. They're going to be generating a lot more value, and thus they should return some of that to society. And with a levy like that, you can fund something like a UBI, where people don't necessarily have to work anymore. They can get by with the UBI, and if they choose to, they can do other things as the market shifts and creates new opportunities for you to achieve more. The other case for UBI you can make is that government spends so much money on social programs. They purport to know what's best for citizens, and they make things very complicated, and the bureaucracy comes with a massive expense itself. Would it be better to cancel all social spending and simply replace it with a UBI, giving everyone a minimum amount and letting them use that to better their lives? What would the outcomes of such a program be? Those are the two arguments that we mostly hear in the UBI debate. Now, fast forward back to today. You have that bill as in the Senate. Once it passes there, if it does, it will head to the House of Commons, and this is where things get interesting. The Liberals and the Conservatives are both currently refusing to take a clear position on the bill. They're arguing that they are willing to wait for the legislation to reach an agreement in the lower chamber before they decide where they stand, which is smart. As a politician, you want to take the temperature of the room. You want to make sure you're not supporting something that has very little public support. Canada does appear to be a leader here, though. There aren't many other countries who are this far along in a UBI conversation. Even though we're at the beginning, many other countries are still theorizing about it. Now, whether that's a good thing or not, we'll have to see. Historically, many progressive senators and liberal MPs have been championing the idea of a basic income for years and seem to take on a new form of vigor during the pandemic. This happened as Ottawa rolled out large, widespread income supports. Even then, Trudeau seems to have taken a different approach. He's been on record not sounding very enthusiastic about the idea. In fact, when he was asked about it, he said he was more interested, this was during the pandemic, in staying focused on controlling COVID-19 than focusing on something like a UBI program. That's what you'd call a classic political deflection. If it was something that he was interested in, he would say it was a priority, but it was the wrong time, but he was deflecting entirely. He didn't want to talk about it. Now, the idea of a basic income isn't new. In fact, you had a free market economist like Milton Friedman in the past championing the idea of a negative income tax, which is comparable. What that would do is provide a certain basic income to people below an income threshold, where if you only made, for example, 40 $1,000 a year, your tax rate would be negative 10%. And that means you'd be paid out. And presumably, the lower your income, the higher your negative income tax rate would be to make up for that. Now, unlike the UBI proposals, this focuses only on low-income earners, while UBI is meant to provide some income to everybody, equally. One of the reasons for that is that it seems inefficient to get the government to waste resources, tax dollars, and time to try to figure out who qualifies, who doesn't. And by including everyone, you do create a large-scale consensus, hopefully. Governments have also been known to botch social spending programs that are tied to income. For example, we have that national dental plan that's been passing through. Many families are left out because they don't qualify based on arbitrary guidelines of being low income. With rising inflation, many families who were once middle class are no longer so. Leaving that distinction up to the government does seem like it might be a mistake. As we talk about that, I do want to note one other thing. In my idea of UBI, I don't believe government should have any control over that mechanism whatsoever. It's simply too powerful of a political tool. You're giving out free money to people. You can imagine future election campaigns simply being decided based on who's going to increase UBI more. The candidate who promised 10% versus the one who promised 5%. Single issue voters are going to become more common. I propose a UBI program must be run in similar fashion to interest rates and the Bank of Canada, where you have an independent body, free of political influence, who's in charge of that. And you can't have a prime minister running on altering it, the same way you can't have a PM running on reducing interest rates. It'd be too disastrous to a democracy. There are other caveats to talk about as well, but I do think this conversation does need a reality check, and that was one of the purposes of this National Post article. At this current point in time, we simply are not equipped to be dishing out livable wages to everybody living in Canada. We're in a massive deficit already. We blew out our budgets during COVID by implementing silly ideas like CERB, and that's in conjunction with still spending enormously on other social programs. First of all, if a UBI is going to work, we have to have very fiscal finances. We have to cut every other social program to be able to fund this thing. You'd also have to factor in the impact such a program would have on things like immigration and refugee claimants. As the proposal has stated to be about, they want to propose that everyone in Canada receives it. Would that make sense, or would it be better to refine that category? These are questions that we do have to debate. If I had to summarize, to me, the current state of UBI is unfortunately untenable, it's not practical, and to implement it today would result in economic catastrophe. We're simply not ready for it. And there are steps that we can take to prepare, like getting our house in order. But at the same time, to me, it's not a question of if we need UBI, it's a question of when. And to be slow on the uptake there is also going to be disastrous. We're caught between a rock and a hard place, where this program does seem to be the future of life, the future of work, and the future of survival within a developed economy that's going to be doing things like implementing AI as it continues to evolve. So if this Senate bill focuses strictly on education, focuses strictly on running pilots and learning from them, focuses strictly on understanding what we have to do today to prepare for a future where UBI is possible, then I'm fine with that. But to rush to implement it, to do something silly because it's tied to election promises, that's a disaster waiting to happen. UBI is both promising and scary. So I do hope we tread carefully here, but it is the path forward. Now with that, it does bring us to the end of our conversation for today. If you enjoyed the material, be sure to leave a review and share. It'll help us grow. And you can find me online at perryplatform.org and social media at perryplatform. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.